You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Everyone, I'm Ricardo Gonçalves. This is SBS On The Money from the SBS Newsroom for this Thursday, the 24th of December 2020. It is your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap. Later, superannuation funds are predicted to end the year higher. Just how high? I'll tell you in a few moments. But first, let's take a look back at the year that was, and I recorded this a little earlier.
It was one of the most volatile years ever for the Australian share market, which kept rising in the first few weeks of the year despite devastating bushfires. And even as news of a novel coronavirus spread, including Australia's first case on January the 25th, shares continued to hit record levels, peaking on February the 20th at 7,162. Then, as the seriousness of the virus was realised and economies began shutting down, our market plummeted. From peak to trough, shares lost over a third of their value in just 1 month, falling to levels not seen since 2016. It was a similar story on global markets and prompted central banks around the world, including the US Federal Reserve, to pump billions of dollars into the economy.
It really can't be understated how close we came to a financial crisis back in March before the Fed stepped in and basically assured that it would provide liquidity, that it would provide support for the US dollar, that financial markets wouldn't stop functioning because of this shock to the economy and the financial system.
Australia's Reserve Bank did its part. A rate cut in early March was followed by another emergency cut in mid-March, along with a bond buying program. It was joined by the government, which introduced cash injections like the economic support payment and later the massive $130 billion JobKeeper package. And then the market started to turn. Despite oil going negative for the first time in history, the collapse of Virgin Australia, a hard lockdown in Victoria, and unemployment peaking at 7.5%. In September came confirmation Australia had entered its first recession in almost 30 years. So why was the market climbing?
Markets tend to be forward-looking and tend to price in where they see the economy, not now, but say 6 or 12 months later. So some of the good news around economic recovery is already in the price. Now, another reason why we saw markets rally despite increasing COVID-19 cases globally was really the stimulus.
Then came the biggest global political event, the US presidential election. It prompted what was one of the strongest monthly rallies we've ever seen, a 10% increase in the month of November. Wall Street also hit record highs. So as our share market continues its ascent, how are the experts feeling about 2021?
First of all, I'm very bullish on the market, which means I think that we are going to have a good run at least for the next 1 to 2 years. Once we have a recession, it is all about reset and growth, and that's a positive backdrop for investments and the stock market. Secondly, the Aussie dollar strength in the last few months has been incredible, and now there are forecasts that we're going to see 80 US cents being hit by next year. That means I think the Reserve Bank is going to be under pressure to raise interest rates.
Now, that's not a consensus view, but if that were to happen, it would be a dramatic U-turn from the bank, which said rates won't rise for another 3 years. But if 2020 has taught us anything, it is to expect the unexpected.
Okay, so my guests there were Kyle Rodder from IG Markets, Marja Bean Zaman from Citi, and Julia Lee from Berman Invest. For the year, shares are down, though, 2.1%, but I guess that's not bad considering we were in a recession. Today, though, the S&P ASX 200 rose 0.3% this Christmas Eve to 6,665. BHP rose 1.2%. It restarted its Samarco Brazilian mine, and Virgin Money did quite well, up 9% following reports of a UK-EU deal. So for more on the day's actions and his prediction for the year ahead, I spoke earlier with Mathan Somasundaram from Deep Data Analytics. Mathan, the market's up today. Why?
Oh, look, it's more of the currency move. So we've actually got a really low turnover day, so the moves are getting exaggerated. The currency is up, so you've got global guys moving in to buy the currency exposure. So they're just buying every sector and everything has popped up, but there's not much selling. So the market looks positive for a day on a low turnover.
I'm keen to get your thoughts on 2020, right? Given the market is virtually where it started the year, despite us being in a recession and despite those really wild moves, what's your feeling? How would you describe how the market performed this year?
Yeah, it's like having a really young child. A lot of noise, a lot of volatility, but nothing's really changed. So coming into 2020, we had pretty much economic structural problems coming out of US and Europe, and that was going to affect us, and that hasn't changed. We've had a big fall, obviously, with the pandemic, and then we had phenomenal money printing, and we're talking, you know, we have not seen this kind of money printing on a relative basis since World War II, and yet we're back to where we were. Most corporate earnings are lower than what it was at the start of the year. Obviously, the share prices are a lot higher, and bond yields are now recovering. So we're in an interesting phase. I think it's what happens for the second part of the cycle in a recovery. You get the first money printing optimism. Now we've got to do the hard work of economic recovery. So it's going to be interesting. And I think the hard part is what used to take, you know, 5 years, 6 years, because of money printing now takes 1 to 2 years. So there is a substantial compression in how these cycles play out. So I just don't think 2021 is going to be any less volatile. I actually think it'll be even more volatile.
What do you think the key themes in 2021 will be?
I think it's reflation. I think that's without a doubt, it's going to be more money printing, which will make reflation even more bigger problem. So because there is no other plan B. Globally, everyone's got only one plan, is to print more money and hope things improve gradually. Economies are still got structural problems. So as they resolve them, you're going to get a reflation problem. Everything's going to cost more because people are not investing. So in that context, I think reflation is going to be the key word. I know every central bank is telling you that's not going to be the case, but history tells us this is the late cycle. It's very hard for them to ignore it for too long.
And finally, given you're talking about reflation in 2021, what's your investment strategy going to be like?
We've actually been long a lot of the mining stocks and gold stocks going into the last 3-4 months. And for us, we don't see that as a trend that's going to be stopping anytime short. I think this probably in the next month or so, there is a risk that everything has a bit of a wobble because once you get past the December year end, a lot of the global fundies who are based in the US will start to rebase their portfolios because their performance have been locked in for December. So there might be a bit of a wobble in January. But in the medium to long term, I think the reflation trade is there to play. And if you think things are going to cost more, then miners, as commodity prices rise, will do even better. So I think China looks stable. They've been the best at it globally, and they will continue to drive commodity prices higher. And the recovery cycle, albeit being in some parts better than others, commodity prices, the food prices, the transport prices, all of these will continue to rise, and that'll make it better and better for the miners. So that's been our sweet spot, and I don't think that's going to change in the medium term.
Mathan Somersundaram there from Deep Data Analytics. Superannuation funds are still likely to have a positive year, though. The team at Super Rating says the median balanced option fund is predicted to be 3.5% higher in 2020. That is still below the 20-year average of around 6%, but it's still a great achievement for a recession year. And that's because of exposure to US stocks, which hit fresh records this month. Now, before I go, one thing to take a look at are the top movers and bottom movers for the market, because they really do reflect the year in terms of being a pandemic and a recession. So these are for the S&P ASX 200. The worst performer was Flight Centre, down almost 60% as border closures hit. The move to online shopping globally meant fewer consumers in store, so shopping mall operators fell. So Unibail, Rodamco, Westfield was at number two, down 54%. And fund manager IOOF fell 50% this year following the Hayne Royal Commission. On the flip side, though, with more people staying at home and with many having funds thanks to the government stimulus, buy now, pay later operator Afterpay was the best performer on the 200, up 279%. Online store Kogan rose 150%. And the current theme of surging iron ore prices helped Fortescue Metals into third position this year, up 120%. They are the top and bottom movers for 2020. And that is SBS On The Money for this Thursday, the 24th of December.
2020, and the last one for this year. I'll be taking a bit of a break and back on the first Monday of 2021. I'm Ricardo Gonsalves. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Business Ricardo. Have a safe new year.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.